Okay, we need to get to the word for today. I have a task. Okay, I have been commissioned to bring the word tonight. Okay, so let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 1. Okay, James chapter 1, if you would. We're going to read from verse 9 to verse 15. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 9 to verse 15. Okay, it says this. Are you all there? Okay, it's really important to follow along. James chapter 1, verse 9 to verse 15. It says this. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossoms fails, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. This is just a long way of saying that whether you're rich or you're poor, you're going to experience the same temporary nature of life. And it depends really not on your circumstances or the temporary nature of your life, but rather who is living in you. And that's what it's talking about here. And we'll come back to that. But in verse 12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Isn't this going to be a great night? Okay, all right, so let's pray and we'll get to the word. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for this service. I pray that you would bless it. Lord God, I'm not worthy to stand here, but I know by your grace that you cover me today. And Lord God, I stand by the righteousness of Christ, not by my own righteousness, because I fall short. Lord God, I want to boldly proclaim your word. I pray that you would speak into our hearts. And I just pray right now that we would experience today together your spirit working in our hearts and in our lives. Would you make the words come alive in our hearts? We don't want to go home the same way we came. Transform us, Lord, I pray. We love you. We thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you were here this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you were not here this morning? Oh, you skipped out of church. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you're here tonight. Bless you. Okay, all right. Just for context, okay, I'm going to just share just a little bit about my background so that you get to know me, all right, before you hear from me, all right? I don't like to do a lot of this, but I do it so that you kind of know the context by which I come from. My heritage is Korean, okay, but I don't know much about Korea, okay, so don't ask me, all right? Don't ask me if I know Korean. Don't ask me if I know North Korean. Don't ask me if I'm friends with Kim Jong-un. Okay, don't ask me those kind of questions. Okay, I won't ask you stereotypical questions either if you choose not to ask me stereotyping questions. Amen. Can we just have an agreement? Okay, all right. Thank you. I actually grew up in Ghana, West Africa as a missionary's kid, growing up in a British school. Yes. Yes, I did. And, you know, I said this morning that I went from all of my childhood in Africa to New Jersey, Fort Lee, for middle school. It was a nightmarish of an experience of transitioning from there to there, all Italian town. From there, I moved to Washington State, West Coast, came back to Pennsylvania. I went to the college that you saw, the University of Valley Forge, and I graduated in 1997. You do the math. Okay, how old is this guy? And who made him president? All right. I know. I'm still wondering about that too. Not very smart people. Okay, but anyway, so I moved back here to the East Coast. I did spend quite a lot of time here in Queens. this is the humor of God, okay? I have not had any Korean friends growing up, and God placed me right in Queens with all Koreans. And they didn't understand me. I didn't understand them. It was a little bit challenging, okay? But I got used to the culture, okay? And then while doing that, I spent a lot of time in Latin America doing missions work, building schools. And so I've spent a lot of time in Nicaragua and Honduras and some time in Colombia and especially Ecuador, where my entire family moved there for a couple of years doing business as missions, exporting cacao beans. Do you know what cacao beans are? We call it the pepe de oro. You know what that means? Pepe de oro means it's the seed of gold. Okay? Because it's the very thing that makes chocolate. Okay? It's the beans and the fruit that makes chocolate. By the way, I don't usually say this all over the place, and my wife is like, you say that, but you say it everywhere. Okay, stop saying that. But anyway, I'm one of very few guys who deals with processing beans for fine chocolate. It's a fermentation process that's a very, very fine artistry, okay, that not a lot of people know how to do. And so if you want to know about chocolate, how many of you love chocolate? Praise God. You have a wonderful church. I knew why I like this church, okay? But if you like milk chocolate, I don't know you. If you like fine dark chocolate and you want to know where to get the best, you can talk to me after. If you have girlfriends, come talk to me if you want to impress them with the chocolate. I'll tell you where to get the chocolate where you will never be able to find it unless you talk to me. Okay, so anyway, I did that for a while as business mission because to actually do some work in the farming communities. And I was in a major car accident and I was brought back to the U.S. And how many of you know that God just sometimes does stuff? I said it this morning, God just does stuff that we don't understand. We don't know why these things happen. But in God's sovereignty and His wisdom, God allows certain circumstances to happen in our lives, and He's always growing us and leading us for His purposes. I just love the fact that, you know, there are billions of people on the earth. Is that correct? But, you know, people don't realize that I think there were billions who died too. Correct? So if there are billions living today, there must have been billions that went past and billions to come. Okay, so there's 7.7 billion people today. There are billions before and billions will come. But there isn't any single person that's identical to you. Billions and billions of people. Okay, your fingerprint is unique. No one has the same fingerprint. And it says in the scripture, God knows the hair on your head. And I always joke around, and Pastor Carlos, I'm sorry. It's really easy for God with you. Okay? Are you going to kick me? I'm never going to come back again, am I? Okay. I'm going to just go all out. Okay? But anyway, I want you to know tonight that God loves you. God cares for you. And I'm a testament to God's faithfulness through all of the transitions. I've been an immigrant all my life. I've went from continent to continent, I've been an immigrant all my life, but throughout all of the transitions, all of the hardships, God has been faithful. And I've experienced the highs and I experienced the lows. By the way, I just want you to know that it is not true that when you follow Jesus that you will always experience the highs. The Bible promises that there will be trouble in our lives. There will be the lows. What's great about our God is whether you're in the highs or the lows, God is always with us, faithful, working in our lives for His purposes, for His good. And God is never, ever going to leave you or forsake us. Amen? This is the beauty of God's love and faithfulness for our lives. You won't be sorry for following Him. Okay, trust me on that. Not trust me, trust the Word of God on that. But anyway, I wanted to kind of share with you my story just a little bit so that you know that, there's danger in believing in a single story. Okay, did you get that? So, he's Asian, so he must be this. Or he's Hispanic, so he must be this. There's danger in a single. Every single one of you are wonderfully and complex. This is how God made you. So when I see you, you all have a story. You all have experiences. You all have different backgrounds. There's no one here that's identical the same way. Amen? But here's the thing. I also want to tell you that your experiences are not the same either. Is that right? Even if you're growing up in the same household with your siblings, your sister or brother, their experience could be very different than you in life. Isn't that the most crazy thing? My brother, okay, he looks like me. Sometimes I want to send him in when I'm tired. Okay, he just looks just like me. And you know what? When I listen to his story, I'm like, did we grow up in the same house? Okay, like, we grew up in the same house, right? But his experience and the people he's met, the trials that he's gone through, everything is so uniquely different. And I'm just amazed at that. You know what I mean? You know, James chapter 1 talks about trials. Okay? Our own trials are very different than somebody else's trials. But the reality is, every single person experiences different trials. And I know some of you, how many of you felt like, you know, my trial is harder than your trial? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, you stop, don't talk to me about your trial. You don't know what I'm going through, right? My grandmother used to always say, don't underestimate pain in anyone's life. You can't judge the level of that pain. However small it may look, you don't know what they're going through. And it's so true, isn't it? We don't really know their background. We don't really know what people go through. In James chapter 1, the first portion of the scripture talks about the word trials. Okay, and here in verse 9, okay, verse 13 on, and it talks about the word temptation. Okay, but I want you to know that these two words may sound like two different words, but in the original language in the Greek, it's actually the same word. So I never understood why it's the same word. You know, in the beginning of James chapter 1, it says, God allows trials to happen in your life, and trials produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. That's what it says in James chapter 1. So God uses and allows outside circumstances to come your way to produce perseverance, faith, all the wonderful spiritual fruits that God wants in your life. God produces not only perseverance, but God produces character in you through the circumstances of your life. But it's the same word that is used here later on to talk about the inner temptation. It's the word perasmus. The reality is that in the English words, just doesn't do justice to Eastern language, okay? And you know how, look, I'm a huge fan of Spanish, Yeah, you know what I mean? Everything just sounds better in Spanish. Amen? Okay, I don't care what song you sing, it just sounds better in Spanish. Okay, I don't know what it is. It's a romantic language, isn't it? Right? In similar ways, Eastern languages have different characteristics. And they're actually pregnant with deeper and multivarious meanings for the words that are in Eastern languages. And Greek and Hebrew, the original authors were Eastern. They weren't Western. And these languages are very deep. And the word parasmos is like a coin with two meanings on both sides. One side is talking about the trials of outside circumstances, okay, that produces beautiful fruit, like character. But on the other side, the text says, don't say that when you're tempted that God is tempting you. It's the same word. On the other side is this thing called the inner enticement. Okay, and this part of it, this is not of God. Okay, this is not what God is doing. This is our what we call like our fleshly desires. We are living in a fallen and broken world. Amen? Okay, so here's what I want to tell you. That I may be the president of a Christian liberal arts university. I may be an ordained minister of the Assemblies of God. I may have years of experience in ministry. But if I were to share with you my thoughts and the desires of my heart that are not of God, just in the last week, and we were to put it up on the screen, okay, and play it, I would not be able to stand up here with the mic in my hand preaching to you. Okay, I would be so embarrassed I couldn't show up to church. Okay, this is the reality of the inner struggles of our lives, is it not? So some of you right now, even the last 5 minutes, if I were to reveal your thoughts to everybody else, you're like, uh-oh. Don't worry, I don't have that power. All right, but if we were to, it'd be embarrassing, is it not? So some of you, don't look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. All right, I'm holy. Okay, I love the Lord. I don't know what you're talking about. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? There is constant, never-ending enticement of the heart that we struggle with. And James is talking about that. And here's the problem with the inner enticement, the word parasmos, this temptation. Okay, so the question is, how does this temptation happen, right? This temptation happens through enticement, seduction, right? Seduction of things or people or stuff of this world, there is an enticement towards it. But here's the thing that is very interesting to me about this scripture. When you have this inclination or this desire or this enticement, if it's not killed at the proper time, it always produces children. It's called sin. So your thoughts, your desires, if it's not dealt with in the right manner, it always leads to sin. It's action, right? So there are like the promptings of your mind, of the inner desires, in the moment it does, it may not necessarily trip you up. But if you keep thinking about it, right? If you keep desiring it, and playing it over and over in your mind and your heart, it leads to sin, action. I just wish it stopped there in the scripture. That when the enticement or the thinking or whatever, the temptation inside of us, when we're seduced and enticed and it gives birth to sin, I wish it stopped right there. But unfortunately, it doesn't stop just with children, okay, having given birth to sin. It actually has grandkids. You know what the grandkids is? It's death. Okay? Sin always has consequences. Don't you hate that? Some of you are like, well, it's not true if we can get away with it. But the reality is, whether people find out or not, it's going to destroy you. It always has consequences. You can never get away with it. That's the problem of sin. If you don't pay for it here on earth, okay, you will pay for it in eternity. There's always consequences for our sin. I know. It's a great night. Okay. Hey, Pastor, we're just here to love on Jesus. What are you talking about, right? Okay, let me tell you some other things that are interesting in this passage. It says here that it talks about this thing called evil desire. Did you catch it? Okay, let's look at this scripture really quick. Okay, it says in verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and what? Enticed. Okay? This is interesting to me. So what in the world is evil desire? Okay? Evil desire is not the secular people that is not in the church, the desires that they have. Okay, everybody thinks that when it comes to evilness, it's all the people of the world. It's not true. People right here inside of the church, you, me, leaders, whoever you are, can have evil desire. You know what evil desire is? In the Greek, it's epitumia. Okay, epitumia is like where we get the word epi is epic, right? Something great, something grand. So it's really over the top, right? And tumia is desire. It's so evil desire is not some that's evil. No, even the good things of life can become what? Evil desire. Do you know that young couples and families who have kids, their kids could be evil desire, over desire, that they're desiring more for their children than serving the Lord. They're desiring their church to grow more than the heart of God. It could be even the good things of life that when we have over desire for. So for example, some of you want a great education. I think that's great. The problem is when you have over desire for it, right? And what is the root of that evil? Why do you want education? Why do you want these kinds of things? When you have, I just want a girlfriend. I'm 22. I want to figure out how to, you know, I want to get married, whatever. Amen. They're like, that's a good thing. I mean, healthy young people should find, you know, that person that God has planned for you to marry. So that's a good thing. The problem is when you have over desire for that person, then it becomes sin. Okay, do you see what it's getting at? This is really a heart issue that James is talking about, right? And so the question is, why do we have these over desires? How do we end up in different kinds of things? And one of the main key reasons why we're enticed by these things is because we believe that these things could get us something. Okay, so I'll say this again. We have over desire for a girlfriend or boyfriend when we begin to believe that without them, we won't be happy. I'll give you another example. We want an education so badly. I need to get into that school. Why? Well, you're going to start believing that idol or over desire is going to deliver on the fact that it's going to give you worth by the education that you see. You see, you're believing in certain lies that somehow these things that are good, that if you would have it, somehow it's going to deliver on some of the emptiness of your life. Something that you have a big emptiness in your heart. If I could just get that, it's going to satisfy me. Do you know that sometimes I see these parents are going crazy about their kids? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. They're like, oh, my parents, thank you. Okay, my parents. You know, they take him to sports. They take him to academies. They pour out all kinds of money. Did you know that athletics children's sporting events in America is a billion-dollar industry. Did you know that? Do you know how many parents spend money on their kids on sports camps? And just sports camps. I'm not even talking about academic camps. It's a billion-dollar industry. It's crazy how much. Why? Because some of these parents, I don't think it's really about the kids. I don't think so. When I see them, they're crazy. You know, like it was just a foul. Calm down. Okay? It's like their entire lives are at stake. You know what I mean? No, that's not a foul. How many of you have seen crazy parents like this, right? Is it really about the kids? Is it really about their well-being? It's not, is it? It's about them, isn't it? Right? So there's every one of these idols and evil desires have a way of capturing our hearts. It really does. And believe it or not, even church serving can. Ooh, yes, I said it. Okay, even leading worship. Okay, ooh. Your heart, you know, you started with like, oh, I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to serve the Lord. And you start singing and people come up to you and go, wow, you're good. Okay, you're like, thank you. In the beginning, it's like so humble. Oh, thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. After a few months, you're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And like, yeah. Like, isn't it so crazy? Isn't our heart so crazy? Is it just me again? Okay. Our hearts are so crazy. It's so prone to wonder. Even serving people can become evil desire because we're getting our significance from serving them. Okay, and so this is the part that I tell pastors and leaders all the time. Pastor Carlos, this is not the first time or the last time you're going to hear this from me. I'm going to keep beating this drum. Do you know that sometimes church leaders use ministry to fulfill their own significance? This is their over-desire. So by serving, they get affirmation in return. So it's not about the Lord anymore. It's like, I want more affirmation. Oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. So I keep doing it. So that keep it's almost like being on drugs. It really is. It's an addiction to affirmation. It's an addiction. So there's all this evil desire. There's this idea that somehow if I could just get more of that, then it will satisfy this part of my life. But remember what this scripture says. It always leads to sin. It always leads to death. It does not satisfy. It's a lie. None of this. You think some of you are very lonely and you think you can have sexual relations to satisfy your need? It's a lie. It will leave you more empty than when you began. That's the consequence of sin. So the question is, all right, okay, President Kim, thank you for telling us, okay, that we have over-desire. So the question is, you know, I was in the pews all my life, growing up in church. Pastors used to tell me this all the time. Don't have idols. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I'm like, how? Tell me. Please tell me how. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Just don't tell me what not to do. Tell me how not to do it, right? And so this used to frustrate me so much. So I'm going to tell you how. Okay, so how do you get rid of evil desire? Don't you want to know? Amen? Okay, so I'm going to teach you theology 101 of getting rid of idols in your life. Okay? I want you to know that when your heart attaches to something, by you telling it, let go, is not going to work. Did you get that? Okay, so I'll explain it this way. If you were here this morning, you know that I have four kids, 18, 16, 14 teenage girls, and then I have a 7-year-old little boy. I've said this before that when you have a surprise baby, not to God, just to us, okay, who is born in Ecuador, he's an Ecuadorian citizen before he became an American citizen, okay, he has literally four moms. Why? Because our teenage girls are all over him. Okay, and we have one dad. and I'm all over him too. And whatever Eli wants, Eli gets. In our home, whatever Eli wants, Eli gets, okay? I was praying. I just want you to know that I'm not responsible for the bankruptcy of Toys R Us just because I prayed for them to go down. I'm telling you right now, okay? But my son and I, we had to go to Toys R Us almost every week until they went bankrupt, okay? All right? I just want you to know that I had to go every week to Toys R Us. No matter what it is, what day it is, we had to go. Okay, because whether small or large, we have to get them a toy. Toys R Us is not dumb. They use data analysis to get you on everything. So when you enter Toys R Us, everything that's really cheap to make, but expensive to buy, is always at the eye level of the seven-year-old. That is not coincidence. That is strategically done by Toys R Us. So every time when my son was into roadblocks, he would always reach for that little cube plastic square that means nothing, that probably cost 3 cents to make, but is being sold for 10 bucks. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm not angry. I'm just telling you, I'm not... Okay, so I processed it, okay? Every time he would grab that roadblock, and I would be like, oh, God. Okay, I'm being robbed by Toys R Us again, okay? But being a good theologian, I figured it out, okay? Because if I tell him to let go, what does a seven-year-old do? He's going to grab tighter, is he not? And then I start to raise my voice. Let go. And then what does he do?
He starts to cry. His puppy eyes.
And then I go, no, Elijah, let go. And then he starts crying hysterically, making a scene, making us look like bad parents all over Toys R Us. And this happens again and again. So I thought, if you keep doing the same thing and expecting different result, that's called insanity. Okay, so I'm like, okay, stop doing the same thing, expecting different results. So I went all across the Toys R Us, and I looked for a cheaper toy, but I know that Elijah loves. So I look, I know he's into Pokemon. So I looked for that Pokemon ball. I know it costs more to make that than that cube. So I'm like, that's $5, that's $10. I got it. So I would come, it's bigger. It's shinier. So I would come to him and I would say, Elijah, guess what? I found something for you. Okay, he's like, Dad, what? I'd be like, guess what I found? And he would be like, oh my God, okay, where did you find that? And then he would drop the roadblock and do what? Grab the new toy. Okay? So here's something that I want you to tell you. Theologically, if you want to get rid of an old affection, you need to get a new affection. Okay? If you want to get rid of your evil desires, you need a new affection. You can actually focus on exterior behavioral modifications. Listen carefully. You can work on not cursing. You can work on not watching that pornographic movie. You can focus on this. You can focus on that. I'm not suggesting here today that we continue on sinning until God changes you, because that is not what the scripture says. But I am telling you today that if you want real change in your life, where you let go of the stuff that your heart has latched onto, telling it to let go is not going to work. Because the right circumstance and the right situation will make your heart latch on even tighter. So the question is, what is this new affection? Okay? I want you to know tonight that the only way that your heart will ever be transformed or to let go of your affections of this world is to show your heart a greater, beauty, something more beautiful. And that beauty is Jesus Christ. You need to show your heart the beauty of Jesus Christ. The reason why you guys are I myself sometimes are holding on tight is because you haven't experienced the manifestation of the beauty of Jesus Christ into your heart. Because if you've experienced the encounter of the awesomeness, the greatness, the unconditional love of our Lord Jesus, when you experience Him, are you kidding me? You're not going to be holding on to roadblocks. You're not going to be holding on to the junk of this world or people who's going to fail you. You're going to let go because the beauty of Jesus is so magnificent, so beautiful. I have not met one person at the altar encountering the presence of Jesus saying, you know what, Jesus, I actually would prefer that beamer over you. I would actually prefer that girl over you. I've never, ever met when they're overwhelmed with the presence and the love of Jesus. Think about other things in that moment. So if you really want your heart to be transformed, where you are not being enticed by the stuff of this world, you've got to keep pastoring your heart by continuing to allowing your heart to see the beauty of Jesus in either contexts like this or the continual abiding in the presence of God through your alone time with God and keeping your focus on the Word of God. And I'm telling you today, the Holy Spirit will reveal the beauty of Jesus into your heart. There is no one like Him. There's nothing in this world that compares to His glory. I want you to know that He loves you. The God of the universe did not spare His own Son, that He would send Jesus Christ to die on that cross for you so that your sins and my sins will be wiped away once and for all, that this kind of love exists, this mind-blowing love that we can't impossibly imagine. We can suddenly begin to understand and know this love when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life to show you how beautiful and how incredible Jesus is. I just never knew this in my life, throughout my life, in different seasons of my life. I want to tell you this, that even as a pastor and serving the Lord for a long time, I thought I knew Him. I really did. But you know how God is so, I just want you to know, God is so faithful that even in your ignorance, even in my ignorance, God continues to pursue me. Even in my ignorance, God continues to pursue me. So here's what I know that my time is coming to an end here in a minute. Can I have a few more minutes? Is that okay? I have the mic. It's okay. If you want to leave, you can leave. Okay? But let me tell you this. You know how I started this sermon? By talking a little bit about my life. Right? Of all the transitions. You know what my over desire was? I really didn't know what it was until I think I was 30 something years old. It's so sad. But the reality is I kind of knew, but I didn't know. You know what I mean? I kind of have a glimpse of it, but I didn't know. Here's what I'm talking about. Because I moved around so much, I didn't know that belonging was such a need in my life. I just wanted to fit in. You know what I mean? I really did. And I wanted to be affirmed of my presence. I was ignored all my life, you know, as a continual immigrant wherever I've gone. I just never belonged. And I just wanted somewhere to just belong and be affirmed for who I am. What I didn't know was that when I had success, by the way, I started ministry. By the way, I don't like talking about ministry this way because every single person, whether you're a pastor or not, is a minister of the gospel and a servant of Jesus Christ. I believe in the priesthood of all believers. And so when I say ministry, I mean vocational ministry. Okay, so when I got into vocational ministry young, man, God really had favor on my life, and whatever I touched, it grew. Okay, and I thought it was me. Okay, so for the first 10 years of my life, of my ministry, from in my 20s, I began to have a lot of success. Whatever I touched, it would flourish. And so when things were bad in a ministry or one of our departments or one of our schools, guess who they would bring in? David Kim. Get in there. Okay, and we would fix it. We would clean it up, and the Lord would bless it. How many of you know sometimes you begin to believe your own press? You know what I mean? Like you begin to kind of believe that you're this hotshot. But I didn't know that all my years of transitioning from place to place, that I always had this deep longing to belong and to be affirmed. I didn't know. And somewhere along this journey, my success was beginning to poison me. Because the more success I had, more respect I got. The more success I had, the more affirmation I got. And it was almost like a drug that fed me until I was in a life-altering accident that literally took everything away from me. Remember, I moved my family to Ecuador in that business. I lost $250,000 of cash in my accident because I lost my business. I couldn't continue. I had to return to the States. I lost the vision that I thought God gave me for Ecuador. I lost my place. I lost everything. You know, when you lose everything, you begin to do some soul searching. And I remember sitting at this church. I had to make a living when I came back to the States. So I was church consulting, but nobody would listen to me. I remember sitting there having lost everything, my health, my vision, everything. And I was just sitting there. And I remember the Lord asking me, David, am I enough for you? Jesus was asking me, am I enough for you? And I said to the Lord, Jesus, of course you are. And I remember tears rolling down my eyes. Of course you are. You are the God of the universe. Jesus, you went to the cross for me that I might have new life. You died and rose again and ascended to heaven, seated on the right hand of God. I was not Once I was lost, but you've adopted me into your family. You've called me and given me a new purpose. You've loved me just as I am. You know every nook and cranny of my sins, past, present, future, and yet you still love me. No one else in life can love me the way you love me. Of course, you're enough. If you have not experienced the beauty of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, it's time to come to the Lord and to say, Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me. A greater beauty than my eyes, my mind, my heart could ever know. Show me Jesus. Because I'm telling you right now, when Jesus is revealed to you, when you get to know him, there's nothing else in this world that compares. Nothing that compares. I used to be a huge car fan. How many cars? I love cars. I used to be a huge New York Giants fan. My son is named after Eli Manning. But in church, I say he's named after the prophet Elijah. Because I got to look holy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be sports. I'm telling you right now that, man, my heart latched onto so many stuff throughout the journey of my life. But the only way my heart is able to let go of evil desire, over desire, is when my heart encounters a greater beauty. Greater beauty. His name is Jesus. I encourage you to get to know him. By the way, when in this scripture, when we remember the rich and the poor, the temptations and the trials are the same when you're rich or the poor. Okay? Remember I told you when I lost everything? Okay? The same question is being asked of me every day in this position. Am I everything to you? Is my beauty enough? Can we all stand together at this time? Some of you, I want you to bow your heads just for a moment, okay? I want you to bow your heads. I want to ask you this question. Some of you, you know and have encountered the beauty of Jesus Christ. If this is you, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, just close your eyes. Don't look anywhere. Okay, some of you, I want to ask you this. Is there anyone here that has not yet experienced and encountered the beauty of Jesus Christ? Is there anyone yet? Don't be shy. Okay, just lift up your hand and say, I've never encountered the beauty of Jesus Christ in my heart yet. Just lift up your hand. Just okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity. For all of us, I want to ask this question. Would you pray right now to say, Holy Spirit, Jesus, come into my heart and show me your beauty. Show me your glory. Show me all that you have done for my life. And if your desire here is to say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your beauty. I want to encounter you. I want to let go of this junk of this world. And I want to experience you in a mighty way. If this is you tonight, I want to use this altar. Okay? You don't have to come, but I invite you to come. Would you come? Would you begin to come to say, Lord, I want to experience your beauty. Would you come out right now, some of you? Let's just gather around this altar right now. Just come around this altar, and I want you to bow your heads and just begin to pray and seek the Lord. I invite you right now. Come on up. Come on up. Just come. Just come. Don't be shy. Just come right now, and I want you to just begin to seek God and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, Jesus, today. Reveal your love to me. That your love is better than life. That your presence is so satisfying. That this world cannot possibly, with the things and with the people of this world, cannot satisfy my heart. Just begin to seek Him right now. And the Lord will touch you right now. Would you do that? Oh, Jesus.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.